All right, Gambo, we are less than a week away from the first NFL regular season game.
I don't even know why we're playing. I mean, let's just hand the NFC West to the 49ers apparently, and be done with it, right? I mean, it's, you know, let's move on.
It is the weirdest
thing. Why play? Just give the 49ers, put them in the Super Bowl. Let's go. I'm baffled by this whole this love fest with the 49ers. Like, I'm just completely baffled by it.
I'm trying to find the exact story from earlier today. I think it was NFL.com. I'll go through. No, yeah, I think it was NFL.com. It was, and they went through and they said, okay, you know, give us your Super Bowl prediction. And they broke down all of their analysts, you know, how many picked this team, how many picked this team. Mm-hmm. And the top team was obviously the Chiefs, as you would expect. The second most popular pick, and this was over like, I want to say it was like 40 different analysts,
yeah,
was the 49ers.
Kevin Patra, 49ers over the Bills. Adam Rank, 49ers over the Browns. Greg Rosenthal, 49ers over the Ravens. Mark Sessler, 49ers over the Bills. Lance Zierlein, 49ers over the Chiefs. Gennaro Felice, Bills over the 49ers. Like, man, how many of these people have the 49ers in the damn Super Bowl? Like, I'm shocked at how many people have the 49ers in this. That's a lot. It's a lot of people. Like, they are a very popular choice to at least, for many, to win the Super Bowl. The 49ers.
More popular than Buffalo, more popular than Tampa, more popular than the Rams, even within the division. I mean, if you're just telling me I got to pick teams to come out of the NFC West, San Francisco's not my first pick. Now, I like that team. I do. I like the team around the quarterback a lot. I like Kyle Shanahan, but if you're telling me that the plan is essentially, and this is what people from San Francisco are saying, the plan is essentially to transition from Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance midseason. That's like their ideal. If you're going to tell me that's going to win you a Super Bowl, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, nobody's really... Jimmy Garoppolo, first of all, Jimmy Garoppolo's not bad, okay? He's okay. He's an okay quarterback.
Fine. They got to the Super Bowl.
Got to the Super Bowl. He's hurt all the time. I mean, he's missed 23 games in the past 3 years. He's not a guy that's ever stayed very healthy. So whether they go to Trey Lance or not, Trey Lance played one game last year. Like, he played one game. Rookie quarterbacks don't win the Super Bowl. Like, your rookie quarterbacks do not win Super Bowls. No rookie quarterback has even made it to a Super Bowl. So this love for the 49ers, my God, it makes me sick. Like, the 49ers love. Their defensive coordinator was great. He's gone. Their new defensive coordinator is, like, younger than you. So how old are you?
39.
Yeah, he's younger than you. DeMeco Ryan. So he's the new defensive. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets. He was the DC. They loved the guy.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I like Bosa, but he had a torn ACL last year. He's a good player. I love George Kittle. He's a great tight end. I think their offensive line is fantastic with Trent Williams and Alex Mack. I don't really like their running backs that much. I mean, those guys were all injured last year. Raheem Mostert, he was injured. Jeff Wilson Jr., he was injured.
I like their running system. Like, I don't doubt that they're going to be able to run. But I'm 100% with you on this is insane to just proclaim this team of all teams the Super Bowl champ. And again,
right,
this is not like one random person that picked this. I'm not saying San Francisco's not going to be good, but even if they win the Super Bowl, I'm still not going to understand why all these people were picking them to win the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. And honestly, what happens if they win the Super Bowl and Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback? Then what do you do? Are you going to run the guy out of town after he just won a Super Bowl with him?
It doesn't really happen that much. I mean, no. I don't know if it's ever happened before, but... look, Trey Lance is their future. Okay, they did whatever they could to get the guy. He's the guy that they're going to build around, not Garoppolo. Maybe they would move on. Hard to do that, right? Garoppolo plays great and wins your Super Bowl. But I just like Brandon Ayuk's a good wide receiver. He's good. He had 60 catches last year. That's the most for a rookie in their franchise history. Deebo Samuel's not bad. Their offensive line, like I said, is loaded. I like their defense. That Fred Warner, the linebacker, is sensational. Bosa, when healthy, is good. Javon Kinlaw is good. Arik Armstead's. I get it. But the quarterback. Like, can they win a Super Bowl with the guy played one game last year? One.
We were talking about this before the show. When you combine this with the skepticism around the Cardinals, and we'll get more into that later on in the show, but like nationally, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of love or thought that the Cardinals are even a playoff contender. When you really start to crunch all these different national predictions together,
no,
and like the odds, I was looking at the odds in each division to win each division. The Cardinals have some of the worst odds in the NFC to win their division. They're down there with like Detroit and Atlanta. I think Detroit, Atlanta, and Carolina were the only teams in the NFC with worse odds to win their division. Now, I get that it's a tough division, but why doesn't the tough division argument work against San Francisco? You're in a division with LA and Seattle as well, and also the Cardinals aren't bad.
LA, the Rams are good. Matthew Stafford should be an upgrade over Jared Goff. They have no depth. They have no depth. They're so top-heavy. They paid all this money to all these guys. They got no depth at all. Like, they're really screwed if they get injuries. Really screwed.
They've already got one at running back, too.
Yeah. So, like, Akers, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he went out. So that was a big blow to them with Akers going out. I don't know. I mean, I'll say this. I'm really confident that the Cardinals are not going to finish in fourth place in the NFC West.
Okay.
You want to know who I'm down on?
Well, there's only one team we haven't talked about.
Okay, don't record this, Jordan, because this might be the dumbest thing I've ever said. You ready?
I know what
don't
you're
record
say,
it. Just hit the dump button immediately after I say it, okay. Just so, because I don't want this coming back to haunt me. I'm not even going to put it on Twitter. I don't think Seattle's going to be any good.
Define any good.
I don't think that I think they could finish in last place.
Yeah, you could finish in last place in this division with
Seattle never finishes. They always win this damn division.
That's
all they do is win 10, 11, 12 games every year. That's what they're built to do. I don't like Seattle. I don't think Seattle's going to be any good this year.
They shouldn't be on paper on the same level with the Rams or even the 49ers. But again, I'll take the team with Russell Wilson over the team with Trey Lance
now,
in his first year.
Now, Jordan, you can record it just in case it happens. But if it doesn't,
So just don't air it. Just record
it. At some point, Seattle's going to slip. At some point, like, what do they have? Like, honestly, what do they have?
Russell Wilson.
They're terrible defensively. Their offensive line sucks. Their offensive line is terrible again.
Yeah.
I'm down on Seattle. I think that Seattle could be the team that ends up in last place in the NFC West.
Somebody's got to end up in last place in this division. And I hope it's not one of those things where it's like, if you can't figure out who, then it's probably your team. Because, I mean, I don't think the Cardinals are going to finish fourth. It was actually Arizona Sports poll question today, and that got the most votes. I'm going to see if I can pull it up here. Here it is. On the main page of ArizonaSports.com, where will the Cardinals finish in the NFC West? Fourth place is firmly in the lead, followed by third place. This is Cardinals fans voting.
Anybody picking Seattle to finish in fourth place?
No, because everybody's just afraid to do that.
Jordan, you buying that?
I'm not big on San Fran or Seattle. I don't think your prediction is that outlandish to think that Seattle is
last place.
Not going to be everything that people are hoping them to be.
Last place, Seattle.
Logically, yes, it makes sense. But every time you pick against Seattle, they end up winning. So that's why I'm not going to do it.
I know. You want to make an argument for San Francisco? I question the quarterbacks. You want to make an argument for the Rams? I question the depth. I have questions about the Cardinals, too, don't get me wrong. But I think these other teams have question marks. See, the Rams are so top-heavy with their salary. They really can't afford injuries. They don't have the depth. San Francisco, like, I don't know if this new defensive coordinator, what kind of job he's going to do. The defensive coordinator they had last year was a freaking rock star. He got a head coaching job with the Jets.
Yeah.
So he was great. And Jimmy Garoppolo always gets hurt, and Trey Lance played one game last year. And in Seattle, God, their defense is atrocious. It's atrocious. You could throw the ball all over them. They're terrible against the pass. They're terrible on third down. Their offensive line still is awful. I know. I love Russell Wilson. Don't get me wrong.
They
He's
did
great.
Nothing to appease him, though. All the stuff he complained about at the start of the offseason, they didn't fix any of it.
I'm going with Seattle finishes in the last place.
I just think there's the reality of this division. Everybody's going to beat each other up. You're probably not going to get a first-round bye, even if you win this division, because you're going to take some losses. So your path to the Super Bowl is going to be harder than whoever. Tampa, certainly. Your path to the Super Bowl through the NFC West is a lot harder than Tom Brady's path is with
Tampa.
Listen,
last place may win eight games in this damn division. It's a good division. Last place may win eight games. Last place is probably not going 4-12 or, 4-13 or 5-4. I can't gotta get used to all these games. 5-12.
The extra game is
the extra game.
But that's the thing. First place isn't going to be 15-2 in this division either. Like, you're going to lose some games even if you win this division. Bix Picks is back for the 2021 NFL season. So text Pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill. Courtesy of Modelo Especial, weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. So text Pick to 620-620 to enter. When we come back, probably the biggest positive to come out of the win last night for ASU other than the win. We'll get into that next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Under center on first down. Daniels hands to Traina. Traina getting outside to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Devils. Rashad White has two rushing touchdowns, and now Diamante Traina has two of his own. That one, a 20-yarder.
Well, six rushing touchdowns last night for ASU. Two by White, two by Trainum, one by your boy Daniel Nagata got in there.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. He didn't have the best, you know, statistical line as far as yards per carries and stuff, but I like him. I think they're three. Everybody talks about the two. I think they're three deep at running back because I think Nagata is really good.
And then Ricky Pearsall had the rushing touchdown, too, on the reverse.
That was good. Double reverse. Yeah, that was really good. So that was a nice play.
The stat that's crazy, that's three straight ASU games where they've had six rushing touchdowns dating back to last year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's indicative of, look, again, last night, Southern Utah.
Oregon State and U of A. Right, U of A last year?
Yeah, kind of rained on my parade there. But these are good running backs. I mean, this offense really is built around how good these running backs are. Jaden Daniels is the big name, certainly nationally, that gets all the respect and the attention. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve that. He was obviously a highly touted recruit, and he's been really impressive at quarterback for ASU. But where this offense is built is around their running game.
It has to be, because that's how they're going to win. As I say, there's no Brandon Ayuk, there's no N'Keal Harry. I think Pearsall could be pretty good. I don't know about these other wide receivers. I'll be Bunkley Shelton could be pretty good. There's a lot of guys, right? And there's a lot of guys, but is anybody going to stab himself as a great wide receiver for ASU? I don't know. So because of that, you want to run the ball. But here's what's going to happen. And Jaden can run too. Don't forget he had 40 yards in the game rushing. Like Jaden can run too. But there's going to be a team that's just going to load that box up, and they're going to say, look, we're going to sell out on stopping the run. Because we don't believe in the passing game, and we don't believe in that you're going to be able to beat us if you've got to throw the ball so much. So I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see a lot of teams try to load that box up and see if they could stop that run. I mean, it's no secret sauce here. What's ASU's strength? Going to be running the football. Yeah. It's going to be their strength is running the football.
They've got two guys that can do it really well, though, or two that they use, and then Nagata. They also, I mean, these guys can catch if they have to. I'm just trying to think of which teams in the Pac-12, because I agree, that's ultimately going to be, if teams haven't figured it out yet, they're going to, is the more they see ASU, the way to slow them down on offense is to stop their running backs. But when you have two running backs, and you use them both, and they can both catch, and your quarterback can run, it's at least a little more complicated than just loading the box, especially in this conference, because I don't know who's going to have a good enough defense to do it. Maybe Utah?
Yeah, Utah's going to have a good defense. USC is going to have a good defense.
But they ran all over USC last year.
They did. I mean, I still think you sell out. I mean, a lot of these guys were unknown last year. They were unknown.
Yeah.
Now you kind of, and last year, you know, you had, and last year, I just got to write last year off. You know, four games and two of those games, they should have won USC and UCLA. I can't really put a lot into last year, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
I mean, the bottom line is the more guys you bring up and you load the box, you put eight guys in the box and say, okay, try to run the ball. Like the chance of you running the ball it's hard. It's hard to run the ball. No matter how, even if you don't like some of these defenses, eight guys in the box is still eight guys in the box.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, that's where it comes back to having Jaden Daniels, who is a good quarterback. And whether he is the best quarterback in the Pac-12 or not, he's definitely going to be one of the top two, right? Maybe three. I mean, who else is even up there in that conversation? Slovis? Maybe Brewer in Utah?
You know, I really like the kid, Brewer.
Yeah.
I mean, he set a ton of records. He was really good at Baylor. And he's a senior, and he's like a graduate. And I watched a lot of that game last night. I went back and I watched a lot of that because I just wanted to see how he did. Now, Utah didn't play great. Like, they didn't play great. But that kid can really throw the football. Like, he's real talented. And so he's a senior. He came in. He beat out one of their better prospects for the job. So he's the guy right now. And I thought he looked fantastic yesterday. And he 6'1". He doesn't have, like, great size, but he's got good size. And they beat Weber State 40-17. But I thought Brewer was the story. I mean, he was at he threw for almost 10,000 yards when he was at Baylor.
Yeah,
Baylor.
He did.
Number two in school history. So he did he took them to a Big 12 championship game. He took them to a big bowl game. Was it a Sugar Bowl, I think? So he took them to a big bowl game and a Big 12 championship game, and now he's the quarterback of Utah. So I would worry about that a little bit. I think he's really good.
I'm worried about him. I'm worried about Utah. I think who was Ryan Leaf? I think it was Ryan Leaf last night on that postgame show. Didn't he predict the Huskies to go undefeated?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see that.
No, but, I don't know that I see that either.
But they typically have a decent defense, too.
Yes.
Oregon's got a really good defense, but ASU doesn't play them until, you know, if you get in the Pac-12
championship. Pac-12 championship game is the only place they could play them at.
But so
it's just a run. This is old-fashioned football, man. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play great defense. You saw it last night. Their defense is very capable of coming up with big plays. I mean, they had four takeaways from that defense, three interceptions. So they're very capable of playing a type of style that Herm Edwards is used in the NFL. Play great defense and run the football. And I think that's what they'll do. I think that they'll try to run the ball and dominate because you wear teams out. You have a 10-play drive that takes up 8 minutes on the clock, 11-play, 12-play drive, and you're just
Herm
running.
Herm loves that.
Yeah, but and you wear other teams out. Yeah. I mean, you wear defenses. You put two or three of those drives together, you start wearing defenses down. I mean, that's what they want to do. You want to wear a defense down. You don't do it with four plays and 80 yards, 12 plays and 80 yards, and take up all that time on a clock, and they can't get off the field, and you wear down their defense, and then the game's a lot easier in the second half when you've got a lead and you can run the ball like that.
Yeah, and Herm doesn't hide it. I mean, he'll tell you flat out, basically, essentially what you just said, they want to do exactly that. But what he has now that he hasn't always, I guess he had Eno, but in terms of ASU hasn't always had two backs like this where they can do it. It will be interesting to see because, I mean, you're right, as they get deeper in the schedule and they play the Utahs and the Washingtons. I come back to Jaden because he probably won't have the numbers that a guy like Brewer has or a guy like Slovis has because those teams are going to depend on those guys to throw more. But I do think if it's ASU's running for a while, but it's a low-scoring, close game, and teams are stacking the box, I do think he can go over the top if he has to make a couple of big plays. We've seen him make big plays.
But to who?
I trust Pearsall the most, not just because of last night, even last year, everything we've heard out of practice. He just seems like the guy least likely to fumble or drop a pass. He just seems steady. You're right. He's not N'Keal Harry. He's not Brandon Ayuk. They don't have that guy. But I think he can at least be somebody that can mix in a run like we saw last night.
Yeah.
We've seen him throw before. I mean, last night wasn't the first time. And he can catch.
I was, even in this, for anybody who didn't watch the second half, I mean, I was still, I was watching and I was paying attention to it because I wanted to, I just wanted to see that Johnny Wilson kid from ASU, right? I mean, he's got good size and everything. He threw him a football and he took two steps and they popped it out and he fumbled the football and they took it back over. So, like, I'm waiting to see if any of these wide receivers will. I probably would agree with you. I think I could rely on, but I don't think Pearsall has, I think he's good and he's reliable. But I don't know that he's got greatness in him the way some of these past ASU receivers have.
Yeah, you'd like to have a guy with that upside. I don't think he's the upside guy. I think he's the trustworthy
guy. I don't know that they've got a guy that other defensive coordinators are like, look, man, we got to double him. We got to take him on the off the line. Like, we can't let, like, you don't want to get Brandon Ayuk going. You don't want to get N'Keal Harry going. I don't know that, and I like Pearsall. I think he's probably the most reliable guy. I'd look to him more on third down than anybody else. I do like Hodges a little bit, the tight end.
He was solid last night.
Yeah, I like him. I think he could be good. They've got, between him and Wilson, they got a lot of size. But I don't know that they've got that one guy that fears defenses. I don't think that they do.
The size, especially against Southern Utah last night, they were talking about in the game, like, look how much bigger ASU is. And I'm like, yeah, because these guys are all 35 years old and they're out there. But I mean, they've all been in college for 15 years. Poor Southern Utah is like, what are we doing against this group? All right, when we come back, it's a big weekend in college football across the country, maybe the biggest in a couple years. We'll get into that next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Again, I heard this on the way in, Bickley and Murata's show, and Bickley pointed out there's just this buzz around the sports fan community going into this weekend because we got like a huge slate of college football games. And I was thinking about it when I walked in, like we really haven't had that since 2019, right? I mean, that was the stats kept coming up last night with ASU. It was the first time they had fans since November 30th of 2019. I mean, you start to... I know we had big games last year in college football, but it just never felt like we had a weekend where like all the conferences were playing and we knew all the conferences were going to play and the games weren't, you know what I mean? Like now we've got a huge weekend coming up here.
Well, I even watched before the ASU game, I was watching the Ohio State game last night.
It was a good game.
They didn't play that good. Like I didn't think that CJ Stroud was very good. Now the first half, he was terrible in the first half. Second half, he was better. But I don't know that this kid is like as good as Justin Fields. I wasn't that impressed. And that Minnesota running back, Ibrahim, man, he was torching Ohio State. Now, he got hurt. He had to come out of the game. He was the Big Ten running back of the year last year. He was killing Ohio State. I mean, he was just finding these holes, and he had 161 yards on 29 carries. He had two touchdowns, and he got hurt in the third quarter. He came out,
and that might have done Minnesota in. But I just, you know, I watched it because it's Ohio State and it's one game. You want to try to get a gauge. And I was like, man, I'm not impressed with C.J. Stroud. He was better in the second half. I get it. But he was inaccurate on a bunch of his passes. And I'm just, you know, that it's one game. So you don't want to completely judge somebody on one game, but not that impressed.
Do you watch Ohio State like a lot of people do, where you're automatically rooting for the other team, almost no matter who
it is?
That's
a good question. I think I grew up rooting for Ohio State with Woody Hayes more than anybody else.
Okay.
Now, in New York, we don't have a college team. Like, we don't have anybody to root for.
Yeah, I guess that's true, huh?
No, there's nobody to root for.
Syracuse, is that doing
I mean, Syracuse
for you?
Is 3 days away. You know, I mean, it's so far away.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you can't drive there. You can't wake up one day, hey, you want to go to Syracuse for the day? Like, you can't. It's so far away.
Okay.
So, no, nobody grew up rooting for Syracuse. There was Rutgers, but Rutgers wasn't any good. You know, some of the smaller schools, like Fordham, where John Skelton went. And
Hofstra, wasn't Hofstra around there somewhere?
They don't even have a football program anymore.
They did have Wayne Corbett. I remember that.
They did. Yeah. Yeah, and they had another. There was a guy on the Saints that was great for years.
From Hofstra? Capped out my Hofstra knowledge.
Oh, come on, right there. The New Orleans Saints. Saints receiver. He was so good. He was one of the best receivers ever from Hofstra. He was great. Hofstra doesn't even have a program anymore. Who was the.
So everybody just picks a team there? You just kind of like. If
you
just.
Yeah, you know, a lot of my friends liked Penn State.
Okay,
you know,
makes sense.
Because of Joe Paterno, so they were Penn State fans. Some people liked Ohio State or Michigan. I think I would say more of my friends like Penn State.
Oh, Marcus Colston did go to Hofstra.
You see?
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Marcus Colston. How good was he? He was great.
He was very good, yeah.
Yeah, so so you grew up and you didn't have a college to root for. You didn't really root for anybody.
Yeah, well, Ohio State did pull off the win last night, but I did find myself in that. I don't have anything specifically against Ohio State, but like Minnesota pulls that off. That's an upset. I know that
I was rooting for Minnesota.
Yeah, how could you not? That's they hadn't beat them. I think now it's 12 straight times they haven't beat Ohio State.
You know
State.
What I root against more than anything else? I root for the dominance of the top programs. I'm so sick of it.
I'm sick against it.
I want Alabama to lose. I want Clemson to lose. I want Ohio State to lose. And I want Oklahoma to lose.
Oklahoma doesn't bother me as much because they're not always there. But they're
almost always there. I'm just so tired of the same four teams every stinking year. Every year it's the same thing. Listen, all the credit in the world to Nick Saban in Alabama. My God, I'm tired. Like, I hope they lose. I hope this quarterback that they have is no good.
I completely am on board with this. I think most people listening are probably on board with that. It's college football's biggest problem is it's just really the same four, maybe five, maybe six teams that are rotating through every single year. 100% I root against Ohio State, especially a game like last night where Stroud's still kind of getting his footing, but now I think they're going to get on a roll. Alabama I've given up on rooting against because they could lose four games, which they never will, and I think they'd still get in. I think the committee would still just put them in because they're like, yeah, but Alabama's better even though they've lost.
I don't know. I mean, to their credit, I mean, how many guys do they put in the damn NFL every year?
All of them.
They're putting 8-9 guys in the NFL every single year.
Three starting quarterbacks in the NFL this year are from Alabama. That's like the one position they weren't putting guys in.
I know. They were never any good. The quarterback position was never any good. No, I'm always fascinated by that. Alabama last year. In the draft, Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Mac Jones, Alex Leatherwood, Najee Harris, Landon Dickerson, Christian Barmore. How are they still so great?
Those are all early in the draft.
How do you lose? That's 1, 2, and 3. That's only the first, second, and third rounds. I didn't go 4, 5, 6, 7 because I just don't like it. That's the first three rounds.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Mac Jones, Alex Leatherwood, Najee Harris, Landon Dickerson, Christian Barmore. Like, come on. Like, their quarterback this year is Bryce Young. I don't even know the guy. He might be a great guy. I hope he sucks.
He'll end up being good.
I just hope he sucks. I hope that somehow that they lose. My team this year is Georgia. I'm going with Georgia. That's my pick.
They got a pretty big game this weekend. That's your pick, or that's like who you're just rooting for?
I'm rooting for Georgia, and I might as well pick them. So I think Georgia is going to be the team this year.
Well, they got a tough one tomorrow. In Clemson.
Okay, but look up their schedule. Call up Georgia's schedule.
All right, it's right here. They're an SEC team, so they'll already get the benefit of the doubt if they need one.
Okay.
Well, they don't play much after that.
Okay. Do you see Alabama on there?
I don't.
Do you see LSU on there?
No, and this is what frustrates people, where you talk about, well, the SEC is so great, so no matter what, if you're in the SEC, you've played a tough schedule. I mean, they play Clemson tomorrow, and then it's UAB, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky. Kentucky's awful. Florida, okay, Florida's good. Missouri, Tennessee, Charleston Southern, and Georgia Tech.
Like, Charleston Southern will be a tough game.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's that one game. What the November what?
20th.
Yeah, November 20th. That is that one gimme game that the SEC has every year most fascinated by.
You must be thinking of Charleston Northern when you said it was going to be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Bulldogs this year. That's my pick. I love their quarterback. I think Kirby Smart's going to get the team done. That JT Daniels, the USC transfer.
Yep.
I'm going with the Bulldogs this year.
Well, they got a great game this weekend.
Yeah, they beat Clemson. And they're in the driver's seat. I mean, they're in the driver. If they beat Clemson this week, they're in the driver's seat.
I'm intrigued by Iowa State. Like, they're not going to be good enough to make the playoff, probably. But that team's loaded, at least in terms of offensive talent.
Which team?
Iowa State.
Yeah.
For what they are, I mean, for being kind of not a smaller program, but not one of those blue bloods that's always great. They got a really good running back, a really good quarterback from here. They got a good team.
But you root for a team like that. Everybody should have a team like that to root for, just to, you know, just to not have these same teams every year, because you get sick of the Alabama and Clemson and I think that's why, like, I think I liked Ohio State when I was younger, but I don't like Ohio State now, because I'm sick of seeing them every year in the playoffs.
I don't have a problem if, like, one team is just good every year, and it's kind of like, okay, the rest of the league, or in this case the rest of the country, against them, like, who's going to take down Alabama? But, yeah, along the lines of what you're saying, I hate it when it's just the same four or five teams. Like, it's just so repetitive. It's like watching the same movie every year. Alabama plays a big one tomorrow, too, against Miami. Probably pretty tough for Miami, but still, at home, if you're going to catch Alabama, this is the week to do it, is week one, right, when all their guys are in the NFL?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's probably better to get them early and have a chance. I mean, but here's Alabama. Like, they got no problem. Look at the SEC. Like, okay, like, what's Alabama's first game? Miami.
Yeah.
What's Georgia's first game? Clemson.
Yeah.
Who did ASU play yesterday?
Southern Utah. But some call them the Clemson of Utah.
Is that what they call them? Yeah. That's the Clemson of Utah, Southern Utah.
Yeah.
Like that's some great games. I mean, Penn State, Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, both of those teams were not good last year. They both kind of struggled, but that was an odd year. But I'm gonna. So you like Iowa State the most?
I wouldn't say the most. If you're telling me Georgia and Iowa State are playing, I would pick Georgia to win. But I like Iowa State as, like, a team that's not SEC and not super big, and they're from a conference that's crumbling right before our very eyes.
I think their quarterback's been there for like 15 years. The Purdy kid.
That seems to be a theme in college football.
Kind of been there for a long.
He's from here too, right?
Is he from here? Is Purdy from here?
Every quarterback.
Yeah, he went to Perry High.
Yeah.
Was he really good?
Quarterback is from here.
He's pretty good.
But he's been there for a long time.
His younger brother, I think, is at Louisville or something along. Like, he's a Division I quarterback as well.
Yeah, it's Purdy, it's Slovis, Spencer Rattler, and I think Purdue's quarterback, isn't Jack Plummer, isn't he from here?
Yeah, they're the Plummer brothers. One of them is at Purdue.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where the other one is.
I think the other one's at U of A, so that doesn't count.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And then the guy who's in the competition with the Plummer kid, Gunnar Cruz at U of A, he's a local in-state guy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're the quarterback haven.
The running back you're talking about, Breece Hall, is really good. Maybe that's a team to root for.
It could at least be a fun team. All right, have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast, brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. When we come back, we will get back into Cardinals football, and they're getting more criticism from a familiar name. That's next. It is the Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Again, but we were talking earlier about how everybody just seems to love the 49ers, even though they don't know who their quarterback is. Maybe they do, but they don't have any interest in telling us.
Yeah, it's going to be Garoppolo.
It'll be Garoppolo to start, but don't you think they want it to be Trey Lance by the end of the year?
I think that they have an option to go to Trey Lance if Garoppolo doesn't play well. If Garoppolo plays well, they'll just stick with him. I think whatever it takes to win. Like, they got a team that they feel can win, and a lot of other people feel can win, too. So I think that it really just comes down to who's win. Eventually, it'll be Trey Lance, but, I mean, you don't have to rush it. I mean, it's like he has to be the quarterback right now.
I'm not, like, offended on the Cardinals' behalf that people think the 49ers are going to be better than Arizona. Okay, I mean, San Francisco was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they had a lot of injuries last year. But it is interesting that the 49ers are getting the sort of buzz of they're going to win the Super Bowl, whereas the Cardinals, the more you look at it, and we've talked about it locally, like, oh, there's all this pressure on this team to make the playoffs this year. Cliff's on the hot seat. Nationally, it just doesn't seem like anybody believes in this team. I really haven't heard any major national analysts be like, oh, yeah, look out for the Cardinals this year.
No, no, I don't, and it's, I don't know why it is. Here locally, we've got this Cardinals playoff or bust mentality.
Yes.
We've got this, you know, there's a lot of people believe if they don't make the playoffs, you got to blow the whole thing up. They got to make the playoffs this year. They got to make, but nationally, it's like nobody's expected them to make the playoffs.
No.
So, like, you know, one of us is going to be right, one of us is going to be wrong. We've got these high expectations for the Cardinals, and nationally, they don't seem to have those high expectations.
So here's some comments. I'll start with Rex Ryan, who is on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And this is from yesterday, but it leads into something else I want to play. But this is Rex Ryan, who was critical of Cliff early when the Cardinals first hired him.
When Cliff Kingsbury came into the league, I was like, dude, it's going to get smoked. And quite honestly, it has. Because, look, in college football, you have 100-some kids on your roster, 100 kids on your roster. So you don't care. You can go as fast as you want. You can do all this type of stuff, and you're going to wear out that defense. Well, you're wearing out your own damn defense. And so we've seen him back off on that. And quite honestly, he's grown. He's a better coach now than he was when he came into the league. Yet, let's face it, this air raid system like that he implemented, you know, from college, you had the greatest player on the planet in Patrick Mahomes, and you were .500 as a head coach at Texas Tech. Oh, by the way, you had Baker Mayfield, too.
So there's criticism from Rex Ryan. He goes on, but we can stop
right
there for
but
a second.
Rex has criticized him from day one.
Yes.
Rex has always been criticizing Cliff from day one. You know why? Because they don't like that Cliff got a job in the NFL when he failed at Texas Tech. They don't like that Cliff Kingsbury is a head coach in the NFL and you're not. Rex Ryan is thinking, I should be a head coach in the NFL. I took the Jets to two AFC championship games.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, besides
with
the fact.
Mark Sanchez, he did.
With Mark Sanchez. While having a foot fetish.
Yep.
I did.
That's a lot to roll into one.
It's a lot. He did it all. I mean, so here's a guy that just, they hate Cliff. They despise Cliff is everything to them that is wrong with the hiring process in the NFL. How does this guy get a job? This guy never coached in the NFL. He wasn't even that good in college. How's this guy head coaching in the NFL? That's why there are so many people that are like Keyshawn Johnson. Who's a guy that's rooting for Cliff?
Michael Bidwell.
And then naturally? So then you come out and you right from the get go, you're adamant that this isn't gonna work. This guy's not gonna be able to be, and all of a sudden they win 5 games, then they win 8 games, and you know what? He's still here. He didn't get fired after year 1. He didn't get fired after year 2. He's dead, and you're still trying to find reasons to believe that you were right, that he's not a good coach.
Yeah, I have my concerns about Cliff, but I would say they're more questions that, and I want to see them answered this year because this is his third year. But to say that the Cardinals have been getting smoked the last 2 years, I mean, they've improved each year. This team won 3 games in 2018. They jumped to 5-10-1, so what is that, by 2.5 wins, and then up to 8 wins last year. If this is their plateau, that's more of a fear I would entertain than just, oh, the Cardinals are getting smoked. They haven't been getting smoked. They were .500 last year. They stumbled down the stretch, and Cliff made some mistakes, don't get me wrong, but I do think there is an element of a lot of people want him to fail nationally so the mistakes get highlighted and what he does well gets kind of brushed under the table.
Yeah.
It's a big year for him. I'm not absolving him and saying he's been amazing. He's still got questions to answer, but any question he doesn't answer perfectly, guys like Rex Ryan are going to jump on, or look, you mentioned him. Here's Keyshawn Johnson.
The system is garbage as a whole. I don't like it. I've never liked it. You go all the way back to college, which is a different game than the pros. What has this system won? It puts up a lot of points and a lot of yards and statistics, whether it's Texas Tech, Washington State, Mississippi State, Kentucky with Hal Mumme years ago, whatever it is, SMU, Cal, it wins nothing.
Look, it hasn't. I mean, it hasn't, but yeah. I mean, they were one win away from being in the playoffs last year. Hey, Keyshawn Johnson, you cost yourself $1,000 with me last year because you didn't believe in that team.
So he really hates this offense.
$1,000 out of Keyshawn's wallet that went to charity here in Arizona and to save some whales, too, because Keyshawn Johnson did not believe in Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury.
What was the bet? I remember the bet. I don't remember what the exact number
Jordan,
was.
Jordan, what was it? How many wins was it?
It was 8.
Okay.
8 wins. So, it was 8 wins.
So you had to sweat that out down the stretch.
All it was 8 wins.
Yeah.
I just had to get to 8 wins, and I'm ready to make another bet with him if he wants to do it.
What would the number be this year that you're confident with? Because my fear with Cliff is that it's not going to win like at the next, like with the top teams in the league. You're not going to see this team win playoff games and make a run and win the Super Bowl. That's my fear. I don't think Cliff is a terrible coach. I just, my fear is unless he shows me differently this year, I'm going to be worried he's kind of like a 500 coach. And this is a pretty talented team Steve Keim put together for him.
You know, I've heard that a lot too, right? Like, okay, whose fault is it if they fail? I mean, if Steve Keim put together a really good roster and then Cliff fails, like, okay, that do you say it's not on, but Steve also hired Cliff too.
Yeah.
So let's not forget that. Steve hired Cliff and Steve believed in Cliff that Cliff would get the job done. I don't have the same feelings that these other guys have on Cliff. Like, I hope he succeeds and I hope he does well because we all want him to succeed and do well. I don't know how good of a head coach he is. You know what I know? The one thing I know, he's not a terrible head coach.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not a flop.
He's not Rich Kotite. He's not Steve Wilkes. I mean, he's here 3 years in. He's still here. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be a great coach or not, but I know what he's not. He's not a joke. He's not a joke of an NFL coach.
That's the thing is there are... You'd love to have a team. I mean, Belichick is the extreme, obviously, but like Kyle Shanahan, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, those fan bases are not hoping their coach gets better. Like, we're still hoping Cliff improves. Now, Cliff should improve because he has only been at this for a couple years, but it's a unique spot to be like, I hope our coach is getting better year by year, because typically in the NFL, you know what your coach is. Like, you may not know what your team is, but you may know. Like, Adam Gase was terrible. Some of the coaches you just know are awful. Some of them you know they can only get you to 10-6 in the past or whatever that might be now, 10-7. With Cliff, there's just a lot of unknown, but he's going to have to answer questions, certainly, this year. All right, we come back. We'll get you the 4 o'clock reset and our top story of the day, of course, ASU with the win, heading towards UNLV matchup next weekend. That's all coming up. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.